Welcome into the Pick Aside Podcast, NFL Championship Round Edition. We're going to do a little bit different because if we didn't, this would be a 5-minute in and out podcast. So we're just going to talk about the games as...
What's wrong with 5 minutes in and out?
NFL fans. Oh, I'm sorry. You got someplace to be?
I'm just saying.
We could do whatever the fuck we want, but I do have questions for you about both of these games, more so on the AFC side. Mm-hmm. Are you with me that the AFC championship game is like a billion times more interesting?
Oh, 1,000%. You know what has become my ritual now? Because we get this game every year in the playoffs, Bills and Chiefs. I watch that 2022 divisional, like they have it on YouTube. It's like the final 6 minutes of the game. I just watch it.
Real sickos have NFL Plus and would watch the entire game. And you've inspired me. Maybe I'll go home and do that.
You don't even need to watch the whole game. Just like watch. Like I remember, I don't even know. Like I had an out of body experience watching that game.
I did too.
It was insanity. And I watch it every year now when we get this game. And I guess this is just the second annual viewing of it for me. But I feel like I've been doing it forever.
It's probably my favorite game I've ever watched.
It's not even close.
Live in my life as a football fan. Mm-hmm. My life really maybe as a sports fan. I mean, it's to my life. And people are going to think this is crazy. But 2022 divisional round Chiefs-Bills in my life is probably the pinnacle of sports live viewing.
100%.
It was incredible.
Yeah, like if you take fandom out of it, because like for me... Cubs World Series 2016. Sure. Not only was that a fantastic game, but I had a dog in the fight, and there's obviously the longstanding history of the curse and everything. But so that probably will forever take the cake. But like neutral observer game, this is it, and I don't even know what's second.
Well, and it was because it's not like Patriots Falcons Super Bowl where one half is really brutal and the second half is only good because it's a story of a comeback. It was the entire game, offense and defense. Nobody on the field was giving a less than stellar performance whole way. And then the final 2.5 minutes were so explosive. Like that, we're never going to get that. And I think Bills Chiefs is always going to be underwhelming because it will never be that game again. But I look forward to this matchup in January more than any other game.
I will say this, part of the charm for it to me, and I know they've changed the rule, but part of why that game is as great as it is because Mahomes wins the toss and Allen never touches the ball. Like, I'm not saying that's right, but it adds to what that game was.
Yeah.
And it sucks for Bills fans that that's the way that that had to end. But I think it is part of the charm of what that game is. And I think the same thing could have been said if Allen was the one that had the backbreaking comeback in the final like 10 seconds of the game and then goes out and Mahomes never touches the ball.
The reality is whoever won the coin toss was going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like or going to the championship round. Okay, here's my question for you.
Okay.
Just as a fan and sports talk radio, putting that into this game, and you're probably going to laugh at me.
All right.
Is Sean McDermott's job on the line?
You know, I talked about this with Waddle last week, and I said, loser of Ravens, I think I talked about it with you too. Loser of Ravens Bills, should their job be on the line? I think if this was the divisional round, yes. Conference championship losing to Mahomes. It's like Tony Dungy wasn't getting fired for losing to Brady all those years, right? Like, it's tough for me to say it has to be on the line for this game. Would it shock me? No. But it's also one of those things, and we talked about it too. Like, you've got the easy bump up if you want to. Just, hey, Joe Brady, we're going to elevate you here.
100%. And I talked about this on Cap and Jay Hood this morning. Have you seen the 5-year rule thing?
No, what is this?
So quarterback and coach pairings. Mm-hmm. No quarterback and head coach have been paired for 5 years and won their first Super Bowl after the 5-year mark.
Interesting.
So this is year 7 for Allen and McDermott. If it doesn't get done this year, I just kind of have a hard time believing that it will. And there's context. Like, we can build any situation. But the reality is, and I saw the numbers, so forgive me if I get them wrong. Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes in the regular season is a stellar quarterback.
Was he 3-1 or something?
3-1, and he's it's something. Let me see if I can even pull it up, because it's the stats are just insane. Mm-hmm. When you go through them, and it highlights just what McDermott has been, I think, in these matchups.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, you're a defensive minded head coach.
So here you go. In the regular season, Allen has a 4-1 record. His offense scores 26 points a game, 296 yards of offense per game, 13 total touchdowns, 4 turnovers. So that's Josh Allen in the regular season against the Chiefs in 5 games. In the playoffs in 3 games, he's 0-3, scores 28 points per game, 2 full points more, 342 yards per game, over almost full 50 yards more than in the regular season, 9 touchdowns, only 1 turnover.
That's crazy.
And he's lost them all. I'm making the point, like, this is a guy in Allen who went for 400 total yards, 4 touchdowns, no turnovers in the 22 divisional, and lost 42-36, and it had the lead with 13 seconds left in the game. To me, it is, if Allen goes out and does what Allen does, which is be superhuman, dominate on the offensive side, and put the Bills in a position to win, and they lose again, at some point you have to hold McDermott accountable for it. It's not the quarterback's fault you're not winning these games.
Yeah, and listen, sometimes you just have a behemoth on the other end too. Like, the Chiefs have been a juggernaut, and you can say what you want about what they've been last year and this year, but the fact of the matter is they have this gear that they just turn on in the playoffs.
100%.
They do, and they find success. It's their formula, and it may look ugly during the regular season. It was ugly, and it still got them 15 wins this year. Probably would have been 16 if they played all their starters in the week 18 finale against Denver. But yeah, no, it's gotten to the point now where you do have to ask questions about McDermott. It would be something if he perpetually got to this stage, but this is just his second conference championship. Yeah. But to a degree, he is building, but
the opponent is what makes it more interesting to me.
Yeah, because like, you're consistently losing to Kansas City, so even though you're losing in the divisional round, for all intents and purposes, in a lot of years, that does feel like the conference championship. Mm-hmm.
And the one that I, like, Allen against the Bengals is the only one that I just straight up hold against him. He was not good in that game. Completed, I think, 53% of his passes. He was bad.
Back when Lou Anarumo was the hot coordinator.
Didn't have a touchdown. He threw a pick. He wasn't good. I can hold that game against him. But in these Chiefs games, he's been an alien. And I also, that whole playoff run for Buffalo, it was off the DeMar Hamlin thing. They weren't right. They're right. And right now, Allen's playing the best football of his career. So for me, part of why I'm asking you this today, instead of waiting until we have a result to talk about it, if they do lose on Sunday in Kansas City, and it is a situation where McDermott's defense costs them again, I want to be able to next week make the claim I would fire him. And I'm saying that today, if it's McDermott's defense that costs me a trip to the Super Bowl against this team again, I'm moving on. What they do is up to them, but I would move on.
Yeah, like, the more we talk through it, and you think about like how long McDermott's been there.
Eight years.
The tenure of it, it's kind of hard to fathom, because you only kind of think about, I feel like you only think about the AFC in terms of like Mahomes years, like the post Brady Mahomes years is how you kind of, your brain is geared. But the more you think about how long he's been there, how many times he's failed to get to this point, and it's largely been on the shoulders of what the defense has done. Listen, if this game's 17-13 and you lose, you have a tough time selling me on, hey, Sean, it's time to pack your bags. But if this is like a 37-33 game that you lose, all right, then we can have that conversation. Yeah. And I think I would lean more towards you, that it would be time to move on. Now, you almost have to think about it from this lens too. Like, I guess you're lucky in the sense that you have an in-house candidate in Joe Brady that you could flip to pretty easily. But trying to hire someone this late in the cycle too, like, you don't see teams looking for coaches after getting to conference championships very often.
Nope.
And that's the part that makes it difficult. Like, how are you going to find the guy?
But the Joe Brady thing, I think, makes it interesting and a little easier because it doesn't feel like, well, he can't get a job. He physically can't get a job until after they're eliminated. Jacksonville just feels like disaster. I mean, what a fucking terrible organization. Go through all these interviews, get told no by the two guys you wanted the most, and then fire Trent Baalke. Yeah. Like, the fuck are you doing? That just feels like an untenable situation. So if they lose, and if the conversation immediately after the loss is, hey, Joe, you want to be that coach? Because this, we can't keep doing this. Josh Allen plays perfect football and we lose. We can't keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Then I think it becomes something they'd have to talk about. But again, that situation has to play out.
Right.
I'm just doing it now because then once this comes out next week, and if they do lose and I say I would fire Sean McDermott, nobody can say you're just an asshole overreacting to a loss. No, and like this is time. It's premeditated. It's right now. You got to get this done.
The premeditated murder of Sean McDermott's job.
Yeah, and in the world where Allen goes out and lays an egg, then fine. He's never done it. So why would I think he's going to do it now?
Yeah. No, it's fair.
All right, let's bet the game.
All right.
We've talked enough about it from the storyline angle.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, I look at the board, these conference title games, I don't like anything. Nothing. I'll say this too. I'm going to bet the Bills. Less because I believe it's the right side. I think if you think you're finding an edge in this game, you're lying. This is such a coin flip. It's a team that has been on the back of their quarterback and their offense against a team that really has just lived defense first and played on a knife edge and finds ways to win, and they're flipping you 2 points on the spread. If you think you have an edge on a spread, you're lying. You don't.
Total I like in this game because I agree with you. Like, it's almost one of those things I want to sit out the spread. I don't want to have a dog in the fight in terms of the spread because these games are epic every single time in the playoffs. But I do like the over 47.5, largely because, like, even though Kansas City, it's not eye-popping numbers on the scoreboard, but they are getting to the 27, 29. Last week was 23. And those are against much better defenses than what Buffalo is. Like, say what you want about Buffalo, but I just feel like, and it's another situation, if you don't want to bet the total pregame, bet the total when there's like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, because that's when we see these teams go into hyper scoring mode and it's shot for shot. Like, there can be 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter and we still get 21 points and you'll hit your over with ease at that point. So I'm going to go over 47.5. Also look for a live bet there. And then, yeah, like, I'm with you. We only have two games to look at here. But I did want to dive a little bit more into like some props and even like some touchdown scores, some longer shot touchdown scores for some people here. So one of the things I looked at too is Josh Allen over 9.5 rush attempts in this game. Because if you think Josh Allen is going to play in a close game, which by what we've seen historically in this matchup, this is going to be a close game. When he has less than 10 rushing attempts, the average margin of victory for either team is almost 15 points. When he has over 9.5 rushing attempts, and this is in the playoffs, over 9.5 rushing attempts in the playoffs, it's less than 5 points. And even that number is largely skewed by the OT thriller in 2022, because that was a 6-point game. And two of those times where he's gone over 9.5, they have come against Kansas City. I think that when we hit this point in the season where it is do or die, and it is a close game, they throw Josh Allen to the wolves and say, make a play with your legs. Be tougher than the guy on the other side. And they say, we've got nothing left to lose at this point. We're going to put your body on the line. And it's kind of what we've seen with Josh Allen over the last couple of years, where his rushing attempts really ramp up towards the back end of the season. So if you think Buffalo is going to play in a close game, I think this is one way to bet it.
Like I said, I am going with the Bills, because I know I'm going to be sitting on the couch on Sunday night rooting for Josh Allen. It's not a secret. I've made it clear. I love the dude. I think he's fantastic. He's an alien. He's one of my favorite players in the league. He's my favorite non-favorite team player in the NFL. I love watching him, and I want him to get a ring. I'm going to be rooting for Buffalo. So I'll put a little money on it. I'm excited about the game, and I want to live that way. I want to bet the Bills. I'll also do this because we do want to give more action and have a little fun. And this is just a beer pizza money thing. Just have a little fun with it. But what you just said about Allen is kind of what the Bills have said all year. And it's what Joe Brady's game plan has been. It's we're going to ask less of you, and it's going to make you a better player. But in the big games and the big moments, we are going to ride you.
Yeah.
That's when we're going to cut you loose and ask you to save us and ask you to go win the football game. This is as big of a moment as it gets. And I thought the second half game plan, I've said this, against Baltimore with Joe Brady, it was bad. Let's just turtle. We're going to hand the ball off to James Cook. We're going to play not to lose. You can tell me if you feel differently. Their second half game plan reeked to me of we don't respect Lamar beating us. We have an 11-point lead, and we don't respect that they can come back. So let's just play game control and get the fuck out of here. That's how I felt about it.
Well, I think part of it, too, is Baltimore's rush defense was really good at the end of the year as well. Yep. So it kind of
it was really good.
Yeah, like it kind of stifled a lot of that too. But yeah, like maybe weather conditions played a little bit into that as well of what you were able to do. By the way, weather conditions for both games this weekend, immaculate.
Yeah, perfect.
This one's a little colder. It's like 21 degrees, but wind won't be an issue. In Philly, it's going to be like 45 and no wind pretty much.
So what I'll offer you just based on that game plan is I do think that the Bills win if they cut Josh Allen loose just because Kansas City hasn't shown me the offensive firepower I think it's going to take to beat Josh Allen at his best. And Josh Allen just let loose to do this. Playoff Josh Allen is one of the great performers in the history of this sport. Doesn't turn the ball over, gets heavy yards on the ground, certainly gets heavy yards through the air. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to go Buffalo -2.5.
Okay.
Josh Allen to score two or more touchdowns. Ooh. And Josh Allen 60-plus rushing yards.
All right.
Same game parlay. It'll get you 9-1.
That's pretty good.
Beer and pizza money.
Yeah. Just a little something.
Don't go crazy on it, but I want to offer something other than I'm betting the Bills because I like them. So that's if you feel the way I feel, Allen's going to perform at the highest of his capability, and the Bills' game plan is going to be, dude, go win us the game. Yeah. That's I'm scripting that up. Yeah. Josh Allen, go win.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, like he's going to have like if they're going to win. It's kind of how they've won almost every single game, but it's been because of him.
Yep.
He's going to have to be a superhero out there. One last little note too on the rushing attempts. If you think Buffalo wins, he's going to get he could get an extra 1 to 3 attempts based off of kneel downs too. So
I just want to see hold please. His game log against Kansas City because 9.5 feels light to me. Like, if you just want another reason to join
he's done it twice.
Tyler on this number, when you look at his rushing numbers in these big playoff games, yeah, I mean, against Kansas City, 11 carries in 2022. He had 12 last year.
The one time he didn't was when Kansas City won by, like, 2 touchdowns.
10 carries last week against Baltimore. A part of that is the kneel downs, but he did get the 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's gotten 2 rushing touchdowns twice in the last 2 years in these playoff games, and they've been more similar to what they are now. Like, last year, Stephon Diggs was out of the offense, and he had the critical drop in the game that I think got him sent to Houston. And Allen was 2 rushing touchdowns. Last week, Allen was 2 rushing touchdowns. Did he have 2 the last time they played? I imagine he had a sneak to go with the 26-yard run at the end.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if there was a 1 yard or a 5 yard or something in there too. But yeah, no, he definitely had at least one.
So it all works out if you want to just ride Josh Allen here. And if you feel the other way, I can't even offer you props on Kansas City. I don't know how they go about it. I have to imagine McDermott does his best to eliminate Kelsey.
Yeah.
But like, who isn't doing their best to eliminate Travis Kelsey at this point?
Well, yeah, because like Kelsey's in ramp-up mode right now. Like you look at what he did last week, he had 7 catches, 117 yards and a touchdown. And even last year in the playoffs, like he kind of sputtered to the end of the season, but in the postseason ramped the fuck up, like averaging 8 catches, almost 90 yards and 3 total touchdowns during the playoff run, Super Bowl run last year. Like that's really good stuff there. And I think in the first meeting between these two teams, like, they neutralized Kelce. However, I'll offer you a touchdown proposition here. Noah Gray, plus 550. He caught two against Buffalo in the first time this season.
Yeah.
So if they're going to go all in trying to stop Kelce, and they may say, you know what, if you beat us with Noah Gray, you beat us with Noah Gray. Because it worked for him last time.
Eagles Commanders side of it. I think any of the narrative around this game, it is what it is. Jaden Daniels, the best rookie quarterback we've ever seen. Yeah. You're getting a divisional matchup in a conference title game. I struggle to really find juice in this, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that Bills Chiefs is on after and everybody's more excited about it.
Yeah, like, this is definitely JV warming up for the varsity.
It just feels that way, and I think the point spread says it's that way. Like, you don't get a 6-point spread in a conference title game very often.
Yeah, and like, the totals in both of these games are the same. They're both 47 and a half, but you've got almost a touchdown discrepancy on the spread.
You're going to have to sell me, because there's nothing I like. I think my lean would be Eagles, but I told you I'm abiding by your rule. Yeah. No more fading Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I'm done with it.
So this is going to be something that we've heard you do over the course of this season, but I'm going to take Washington plus the 6 and try to middle or even hedge out of my Eagles future. Like, plus 6 is a pretty comfortable like middle that you can find in there. So yeah, I'm going to take Washington plus the 6. I also like over 47 and a half in this game.
See, I was going to lean under.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stay away then.
I just, Washington's fourth down stuff against the Eagles defensive line, it's the same kind of thought process I had with the Lions game. Eagles obviously are a run heavy defense. We've seen them chew clock on lengthy drives.
But the thing is they're susceptible. Like, they will break a big run in this game. Like, 100%. We're going to see a 50-yard Saquon touchdown, so it kind of takes away from that. But
for every home run they hit, we might get 10 carries that extend a drive.
That's fair.
And I know that Philly has that capability. And look, I'm just going to be honest, I really feel similar about this game that I did with the Lions a week ago. Is the team going to bungle the game plan twice and get away from the run and get away from time of possession? The Eagles know what they have to do.
Yeah.
And they've limited Jalen Hurts' pass attempts. They've ridden the ground game. I kind of feel like this is a game where if Washington gets tight on the fourth downs and isn't taking field goals, because they know they can't win with 3 points, and if Philly comes up and gets those stops, their defensive line's as equipped to deal with this as any in football, I would lean under. And like, I was thinking, if I were going to get involved on this game, I'd probably tease Philly with the under. I'd get Philly to a pick. All you have to do is win the game and get the under to 53.5.
Yeah. My one thing is I don't trust this Washington defense at all. Like, they're getting gashed on the ground. Fifth worst in the regular season in terms of yards per carry. And then even in the playoffs, they're allowing north of 6 yards per carry. It's one of the worst numbers in the playoffs right now. And this Philly team, man, like, they'll beat the shit out of you on the ground. So
100%.
And like, even like looking at the last meeting, I know Washington won the game, but Hurts goes out in the first quarter. That team put up 21 first quarter points and kicked 4 field goals the rest of the way. Like, if this offense is whole, they're finishing drives.
One last note on the total.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's betting the under.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I can see why.
87% of the bets, 84% of the money on the over. So 13% of the bets, 16% of the money on the under. A little bit of a spread. Also, winds over 10 miles an hour. There's just a system, 57% winner on the under. I would lean that way. I don't fault you for taking over just because
Barkley's home run potential. I'll stay away from it. I'm just going to hedge out with, or try to middle with, my Washington plus 6.
You had a prop you wanted to bring up that I think's fucking ludicrous.
Yes.
Like, you can't ever bet this.
No. So Saquon Barkley's number, his rushing total in this game, I've never seen this. 130.5. And this is not rushing and receiving yards combined. No. This is strictly rushing yards, 130.5.
I would typically feel the way I felt about CeeDee Lamb when we explained to young Justin Pottinger. When CeeDee Lamb's receiving number starts with a 6, you can't bet under. You have to bet over. If it starts with a 6, bet over. Mm-hmm. Any running back in football, And pick your starter, 32 out of 32. If their rushing total starts with a 1, you have to bet under. Mm-hmm. If it starts with a 1 and the next number is a 3, it's like mortgage on the under. Yeah. Unless it's Saquon Barkley against the Commanders.
Yeah,
you could never get me to bet the under on this. I also, you'd have to be out of your fucking mind about the over.
Yes.
You'd have to have, like, you'd have to have so much discretionary income to throw on a bet. If you have the balls to say Saquon's going over 130 yards.
The part of it, too, with it is everything football-wise says take the over. Like, if you just do the football part of this, everything tells you you got to be on the over. You got one of the worst rushing defenses in all of football. You've got the best rushing offensive line on your side in all of football. And you've got the best running back in all of football on your side here. Like, everything football-wise tells you to go over. I just can't do it. I cannot with a number like that. It is insane to see a number like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's not anything you could ever bet. Do you have any touchdown props on this one?
I do have a different prop. Dallas Goedert, over 38.5 receiving yards. He missed the last meeting, but first meeting he had over 50. And in the playoffs, Jalen Hurts, ever since getting Dallas Goedert back, has really leaned on him. He's accounted for 40% of Hurts' yards in the playoffs and also is getting about a 30% of the target share as well. So those are pretty high-volume stuff. It's a Washington team that's so-so with tight ends there. And then if you want a touchdown prop here, Olamide Zaccheaus, plus 490 to score. They haven't used a lot of him in the playoffs so far, but at the end of the regular season,
he was
averaging about 7 targets per game. He had 2 touchdowns in the last game against Philly. They can use him in different ways too. Like, this could potentially be their last game. This may be an empty the drafts type of game for Cliff Kingsbury. Maybe they get him involved in the run game. So I think he'll find his way into the end zone at that value.
All right, that's going to pretty much do it for the football stuff. I do want to quickly bring up the college basketball and what our kind of working plan is to do it. So it's going to be a little bit difficult. If we come in at the time that we usually do this, like right now we're taping at 11 a.m. on a Thursday, and we want to give you college basketball plays, by the time you're hearing it, they won't exist. In all likelihood, you'll be listening to it after tip-off. Mm-hmm. So working plan is... night before, when we have plays, we're just going to hit you quick. It'll be 5-10 minutes in and out. We're going to give you the games that we're picking for the following day, and that'll be it. And I just, because I'm sure people will wonder how we're going to land on these, and we're not going to spend as much time capping every game as we do with the football. I kind of have a process. I think you adhere to it too. It's going to be a lot of home teams. It's going to be a lot of short favorites or short dogs. Like the conference games where you've got teams laying 13, 14, 15 points in college basketball, I'm not touching. There's just too much variance. Some of the stuff where you get just the home court advantage and maybe you see a team with a bad record laying a point to a team with a good record, that's a spot I like to live. Or an unranked team at home laying points to a ranked team. Same deal with college football, which I've done a lot. That's a place I like to live. So there's going to be kind of a system to it, but I'm not going to marry myself to it. And we'll give you what we can. But it's going to be quick hitters. And we'll try to do it the night before and give you time to get access to it.
You can listen on your commute in, and you can lay the plays then. So,
or just fade us. Who gives a shit anymore?
Listen. Do whatever you want. We are here to offer you picks. What you do with them is up to you.
Listen, like, NFL killed me this year. It did. I got fucking murdered. And I had a nice run at the end of college football. But overall, this has not been my best season.
But it has been a very different year gambling-wise. Like, if you look at all of the data that's out there, like, the public feasted this year.
Yeah, the sports books got killed. And I can tell you factually, the sports books are thanking God for the Washington Commanders, because there were quotes from guys, the risk assessors for different books, saying if they could have pulled the Lions futures off the board, they would have. Nobody's happier the Lions lost than books that had unbelievable levels of risk on the Lions to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. So the public won, and then the public got their comeuppance in the futures market.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there's never going to be a year in football where I ride with the public. There just isn't.
Nope. Not for me either.
It's a losing endeavor most of the time. And the last two seasons have kicked my head in a little bit. Hopefully, finally, rent comes due next year and the public starts losing. That's all I can say.
Yep. We'll see.
All right. That'll do it. Conference championship round. We'll have a recap episode next week and we'll get started with the college basketball stuff as well. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.